Welcome to the Lord's house as we're privileged to gather here this third Sunday of the Advent season as we celebrate the Advent candle of love. We would like to encourage everyone to please sign the registration sheet and pass that on to your neighbors. We are most grateful for everyone who has contributed to the cost of the poinsettias that adorn the sanctuary this morning and will be here through Christmas Eve next Sunday. The flyer in your bulletin indicates to whom each poinsettia has been donated in honor or in memory of. And after the Christmas Eve services, we encourage those who ordered a poinsettia to please take yours home next Sunday. And also in your flyer, in the bulletin, there is the note about the next round of dinner groups. If you would like to participate this next quarter that begins in January, please express your wishes by filling out that form and placing it in the offering plate. And in the bulletin, also please make note of the food pantry drive, the giving envelopes that are available in the foyer, and the warmth tree that's coming up in January. And please also remember that next Sunday, Christmas Eve, we will only have one morning worship service. So the one service will be at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then in the evening we'll have our traditional candlelight service at 6 p.m. At the 10 o'clock service next Sunday morning, our children will be presenting their Christmas program. And also, the new directories are now available in the church office. The cost is $10 per copy, which just simply helps us pay for the printing cost. I think these are all the announcements we need to lift up, and so I'd like to call on Ryan to lead us in our call to worship.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. We give thanks to you, O God.
We give thanks to you.
We proclaim how great you are, and tell of the wonderful things you have done. We'll now sing hymn number 150. All stanzas of Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased in flesh with us to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
May we pray. Merciful God, on this third Sunday of the Advent season, as the candle of love increases the living light of your presence on the Advent wreath this morning, we remember that your loving presence is revealed through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For your boundless love in Christ, we give you thanks this Sunday and always. In his name we pray, amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Please be seated. This third Sunday of the Advent season, we see the light of the Advent wreath increasing by the lighting of the third candle, the candle of love. As the glow of the light of Christ's presence becomes even more apparent with the lighting of the candle of love, may we be in the spirit of repentance as we recognize that the candle for this Sunday is the color of pink or violet, which represents the color of repentance. As we add the light of this candle to the wreath, may we remember how John the Baptist proclaimed in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, "Turn away from your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near." May we be in the spirit of prayerful meditation as Chris and Leslie Martinson come forward to light the three candles of the Advent wreath this morning.
Today, the third Sunday of the Advent season is represented by the candle of love. Before this candle is lit, however, we will notice again light the candle. We will once again light the candles of hope and peace, remembering that our expectation of Christ's presence becomes greater with each passing week of the Advent season. As we invest our time and resources, now we focus our attention on the third candle, the candle of love. And as we invest our time and resources in raising our children, caring for grandchildren, and supporting the young people in our community, we experience a glimpse of the amazing love that God must feel for us all as his children. Just as we desire to offer the very best future we can for the young people in our lives, we recognize that God has lovingly offered the best he had to give humanity, freedom from sin and hope for eternal life through Christ our Lord. God's amazing love for all of us is what we most appreciate this morning as we light the Advent candle of love.
Come festively sing while awaiting the birth. Join angels in dancing from heaven to earth. Wave banners of good news, lift high.
it for the joy of these days.
May we take a moment to greet our neighbors, please. May we have our children come forward for the children's message, please.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Well, good morning. We got you packed in there like sardines this morning, don't we? How are you guys? Are we all good? Yeah? Don't play with the flowers, okay? Thank you. That's a good girl. 1 week. One more week, and then what is it? Christmas Eve. Oh, my goodness. Already. Already. How'd that happen so fast? Now, I have a question for you. Have you been really, 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 really good?
Yeah.
Yeah? The heads say yes. The eyes say I'm not too sure about that. So, let's see. So, you've minded Mommy and Daddy, right? And you've cleaned your rooms, brushed your teeth, remembered to say your prayers. Uh-oh. We're getting into territory here, huh? But have you been really good enough to earn those presents under that tree? Yeah, you think so? Okay. But you know what? There's a very special present. The best present of all. Do you know what that is? Jesus, you are right. You guys are so good. Jesus. God gave us Jesus as a gift, a present, didn't he? And you know what one of the really, really, really cool things about getting a gift of Jesus is? You don't have to brush your teeth to earn it. No, you don't. You don't have to do anything to earn Jesus' love. He loves you just because you're you. He loves you because you're Mateo. He loves you because you're Troy. He loves you because you're Graham. He loves you. Yes, even fidgety, fidgety you. Mr. Cam. He loves everybody because you are who he made. That's it. You just have to invite him into your heart and he loves you. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to do anything. But in order to stay in good with mom and dad, you guys still got to mind them. Jesus, they love you too, but you still got to mind them. I have to say that to keep the parents on my side. Anyway, shall we have a prayer? Yes. Okay, can we have prayer hands? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of these beautiful children. We know that you love each and every one of them and each and every one of us just because we are who you made. We ask that you be with us today as we learn more about you and as our children go downstairs and celebrate a birthday party just for Jesus. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer and also lift up our praises, a word of praise and congratulations to David and Kathy Archer, who were at the early service this morning as they celebrate the birth of their first great-grandchild, Flora Elizabeth Harris, this past week. Our thanks to everyone in the church who helped with the arrangements for the service for Mary and Otto that took place here in the church last evening. And we keep Jake and all of his family members in prayer. Certainly our sympathy is also extended to Shelley Taylor and her brother Mike McNeil with the passing of their father, Lauren Kirby, on the 5th of December. The service for Lauren will be here in the church on Friday, the 29th of December. Visitation is at 12 noon and the service will be at 1 o'clock. Burial will follow at the Terrace Park Cemetery. We do want to keep in prayer Bob Maddox with the aortic valve replacement and heart bypass surgery that's scheduled for the 16th of January. And we also lift up Ruth Ann Solomon for a knee surgery on January the 8th. Also, we want to keep in prayer Amy Roberts, as she is recovering from shoulder surgery. And we want to lift up Brady Holmes, the oldest son of Adam and Shanna Holmes. He fractured the fibula of his right leg in a basketball game just a few days ago and is home recovering from that. We also understand Edna Williams is making better progress, so we're encouraged by that. And of course, we want to lift up Joan Eismont, and we're grateful that it seems that she did not experience any real severe impairment from a recent stroke. So with all of these people upon our hearts, let us bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Holy and gracious God, with humility and contrite hearts, we bow before your presence this Lord's Day morning. As the increasing light of the Advent candles shun away the darkness, we know they represent the shining glory of your presence among us, chasing away the darkness of sinfulness that so often lurks in the shadows of humanity's deceit and evil deeds. As we have lit on this third Sunday of the Advent season the candle of love, Christ's selfless willingness to live as one among us, and as his faithful obedience to your will reveals that genuine and true love is indeed selfless and sacrificial and strives to benefit others. As this Advent season of 2023 continues to unfold, we are truly mindful of the ongoing suffering, loss, and tragedy that millions face the world over. Wars prevail, loved ones have been killed, countless others have been injured, tens of thousands now call tents and tarps their home. Surely, O God, through the misdeeds and missteps of our human endeavors, we so often find it difficult to live by the compassionate love your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ offered us through his living example. Yet through the fog and darkness of our despairing ways, may your Holy Spirit help us find your way and help us discover the redemption and hope that you wish to offer all of your children the world over. This we pray this Advent season and always as we recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh,
Christ's conscious willingness to become the final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sin is revealed in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with the first verse, tells us, "For this reason, when Christ was about to come into the world, he said to God, 'You do not want sacrifices and offerings, but you have prepared for me a body. You are not pleased with animals burned whole on the altar or with sacrifices to take away sins.' And then I said, 'Here am I to do your will, O God, just as it is written of me in the book of the law.'" Christ's selfless willingness to depart from the glory of heaven, to take on our fallible human form and become that final, unblemished sacrificial lamb of God, should humble us one and all as we partake in the bread and cup of the Lord's Supper each Sunday morning. Our communion hymn this morning, hymn number 153, we sing stanzas 1 and 4 of "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear."
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. On the earth, goodwill to all, from heaven's all gracious King, the world in solemn stillness lay to seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I have received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Doug leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we gather at your table this morning for Holy Communion. As we partake of the bread and the wine, let us be reminded of Jesus' birth, resurrection, and sacrifice for us. In this we pray, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 tells us, whenever you possibly can, do good for those who need it. And in John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, verse 12, our Lord Jesus tells us, my commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. We take to heart these teachings of God's stewardship and love as Gail leads us in a word of prayer and we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Our most loving Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time of the year, which is known for giving, we ask that the gifts that we bring today will be a blessing to those who receive them. May they feel the love that is genuine in our hearts to help other people. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Stand. Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This Sunday, I'm going to begin a three-Sunday series here under the title of A Sign for Us. And I really want to encourage you to be here this Sunday, of course, and then next Sunday, Christmas Eve in the evening time frame, and then, of course, on the 31st, because this series will build upon itself. And I really hope that by the time we have finished this series, you really would have learned something about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that you have never known before. That's always my goal, isn't it? I ask you when you walk out the door, did you learn something new today? And I hope indeed that's the case. And this Sunday, as we look at this morning's text, we're going to do that as we proceed through the message. But as we anticipate the celebrated birth of Jesus, have you ever wondered, how was it that the shepherds knew where to find the Christ child? Luke chapter 2, verse 12 tells us that the angel of the Lord had given them a sign that they were to find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But this morning, let's discover how their knowledge of Micah's prophecy gave them further details on where exactly the Christ child was born. May we pray. Merciful and holy God, as the celebrated arrival of Christ's birth nears in our hearts and minds, may we be so very mindful of how succinctly you communicate your plans for humanity's salvation through your holy word. For unto us a sign is surely given. In the name of Christ we give thanks. Amen. During this season of Advent, we believe that we are quite familiar with the story that Jesus, our Messiah, was born in the town of Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2, verse 4 tells us that Joseph took his wife Mary and went to Bethlehem to register for the census as required by Emperor Augustus, for Bethlehem was the hometown of his ancestry. We also remember the prophecy foretold that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and we often read during the Advent season the text from Micah, the 5th chapter, that second verse, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." And as the text of Luke chapter 2 and Micah 5 are read one Advent season after another, we can become rather numb to what is spoken, for we believe that we've heard all this before. We believe there's nothing new to be learned. We think we know all the details of the entire story of Christ's nativity. Mary and Joseph made that arduous 90 or so mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Mary gives birth to the Christ child in some place where animals are kept. Mary wraps him in swaddling clothes and lays the baby Jesus in a manger. The group of shepherds in a field outside of Bethlehem are greeted by a singular angel and told the good news of the Savior's birth. They are given a sign in Luke's gospel that is made very clear to us. Again, the text of Luke chapter 2, verse 12, in that King James Version that we will all remember. "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Then, of course, suddenly there is that great army of heaven's angels that appear with the singular angel, and they sing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." And as the appearance disappears and the night sky returns, the shepherds are determined to find the Savior. They hurry off and find Mary and Joseph and see the Christ child lying in the manger. They tell Mary and Joseph of their experience in the field. All are amazed at what the shepherds say. Mary and Joseph remember these things, and then the shepherds go back to their sheep, singing praise to God, for all that they had seen and heard had been just as the angel had told them. That's the end. We know all about the nativity of our Lord Jesus. Or is it the end? Have you ever wondered, how was it that these Bethlehem shepherds knew where to find the Christ child? They, of course, were given this sign from Luke chapter 2, verse 12. "This shall be the sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." But the truth is that there is more that God has given to humanity about the birth of the Messiah than what we see in Luke's gospel. It's in the prophecies that we often overlook. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Text tells us in the New International Version, "Surely the Sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets." And 700 years before the birth of the Christ child, the prophetic words of Micah gave us more detail about the Savior's birth. I call your attention to our second reading this morning from Micah chapter 5. We know that text from Micah chapter 5, but I want to focus our attention on Micah chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. The text says, "As for you, watchtower of the flock, stronghold of daughter Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. Kingship will come to daughter Zion. Why do you now cry aloud? Have you no king? Has your ruler perished? That pain seizes you like that of a woman in labor. Writhe in agony, daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor, for now you must leave the city to camp in the open field. You will go to Babylon, where you will be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you out of the hand of your enemies." Our key verse this morning is actually verse 8 of Micah chapter 4. As for you, watchtower of the flock, stronghold of the daughter Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. This watchtower of the flock in the Hebrew language is the words Migdal Eder. The shepherds in the field outside of Bethlehem who were given the sign of the Messiah's birth would have had far greater knowledge of God's word than most of us. For Hebrew children were taught to read and write through the memorization, reading, and writing of their sacred text. As Jewish men, they were quite familiar with the prophetic words about the Messiah. They likely knew of the prophecy of the suffering servant in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, being that the lamb is about to be slaughtered. They would have known the text of the minor prophet Micah. Not only the prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, as recorded in Micah chapter 5, but they would also have known this particular passage of Micah chapter 4, verse 8, about the watchtower of the flock. These shepherds instantly knew that they were not going to have to go searching hither and yon through every rock-walled sheepfold, every limestone cave that sheltered sheep that night, nor were they going to have to go into Bethlehem and search out the lower levels of every local residence where people house their animals at night. It all comes back to this text of Micah chapter 4, verse 8. As for you, watchtower of the flock, stronghold of the daughter of Zion. And then at the end of the text in verse 10, there the Lord will redeem you out of the hand of your enemies. The shepherds, you see, knew with certainty that they were being led by the angel of the Lord to go to Migdal Eder, the watchtower of the flock. In biblical times, the leaders and high officials and their armies traveled by what were called the King's Highway. The King's Highway traversed across the hilltops slightly east of Jerusalem, and then south, and then again slightly east, and for a 5.9-mile distance from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, and then onward, of course, further. Even before the Greeks and Romans leaders had developed the King's Highway across the highest mountaintops and the hilltop terrain throughout Palestine, so they could keep an eye on any potential enemy as they quickly traveled through the countryside from one populated city to another. Then, as now, the high ground was always the greatest vantage point to spot one's enemy. Along the King's Highway, towers were constructed through which an even greater visibility could be attained and signals could be relayed from one tower to the other. Just outside of Bethlehem was one such tower. Not only was it a good vantage point for the soldiers, but it was also an excellent place for the shepherds to keep watch over the flocks of sheep in the pastures below. From the tower, they could see a predator long before it reached a flock and could send word to the shepherds below. The use of the tower outside of Bethlehem is why this particular rock-walled tower was called, in Micah chapter 4, verse 8, the watchtower of the flock. But what these Bethlehem shepherds also knew is that this watchtower also had a hewn cave beneath it. It was a safe, clean, and guarded place. Here, the ewes from the Bethlehem pastures were brought when they were about to give birth to their lambs. And these ewes and their baby lambs were not ordinary. They were quite special. They were the lambs specifically raised to be offered as sacrifices to the God of the Hebrew people every morning and night, and during the holy festivals in the Jerusalem temple. According to the Torah, these lambs had to be perfect and without blemish to be worthy offerings before the Lord God. Therefore, the protected shelter underneath the watchtower of the flock was a perfect place for these lambs to be born. And when these lambs were born, they were also carefully inspected to make sure that they had no spot or blemish. And if they passed inspection, they were also carefully wrapped up. And then they were placed in a manger for a period of time to allow them to calm down before they would then be unwrapped and given back to the mother, you see. So the Bethlehem shepherds, who cared for these growing lambs that would one day be offered unto the Lord, knew instinctively, and as a matter of their own Jewish heritage and upbringing, exactly where the Lamb of God was to be born and to be a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So what might just be the birthplace of our Lord Jesus? We've looked a bit closer at the prophecies of Micah, and it may just be that centuries before the birth of the Messiah, God was already telling humanity that his son, our Savior, the Messiah, would indeed be born in the same place where the unblemished sacrificial lambs were born. And just as the newborn unblemished lambs were wrapped in cloths to protect them from injury, to prevent disqualification, to serve as a sacrifice before God, so Christ, the newborn Lamb of God, in Luke chapter 2, verse 12, as we're told, was wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger underneath Migdal Eder, the watchtower of the flock. And later, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he declared in John chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And later in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us, "Even today, you know what was paid to set you free from the worthless manner of life handed down by your ancestors. It was the costly sacrifice of Christ, who was like a lamb without defect or flaw." Do you know Christ? If you don't, today is your day, where I know you can come forward and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church, as I extend to you the invitation and we turn to our hymn number 124. We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 4 of "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence." 124, please.
Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to descendeth, our full homage to demand. At his feet the six-winged seraph, cherubim with sleepless eye, veil their faces to the presence, as with ceaseless voice they cry, "Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia, God Most High."
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. And again, a reminder, next Sunday, Christmas Eve, we'll have the one service in the morning, 10 o'clock. Our children will present their program. Then at 6 o'clock at the candlelight service is where I will continue the second portion of this series of three messages about Migdal Eder, the tower of the flock. under the idea that God has for us a sign. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us and strengthens us day by day, and for this we are indeed grateful. Guide us as we journey forward in the new week. For it's in Christ's name we pray.
A star that shines in the night, leading us on till the morning is bright. When God is a child, there's joy in our song. The last shall be first, and the weak shall be strong. And none shall be afraid. Love is a flame that burns in our heart. Jesus has come and will never depart. When God is a child, there's joy in our song. The last shall be first, and the weak shall be strong, and none shall be afraid.